Welcome to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast with me, Sherry Honeycutt, Life Coach, where I have one mission with this podcast, and that is to help you get out of your velvet rut, to stop living by default and waiting to have the life you crave. This is a podcast where I help you take inspired action, step into the responsibility for your own happiness, and start every day figuring out what you can do to create the life you want, because it won't accidentally happen, my friends. So lean into today's content, make the intention to take away a nugget or two, and more importantly, decide that you're going to implement whatever you take away from here today, because it's on you, baby. It's on you to create that life that you want, and I know you can do it. So let's go. Well, hello, and welcome to this next episode of the podcast. So a couple of weeks ago, I did a two-day visioning retreat for a longtime client. And part of that was she specifically wanted to do her 10-year vision. And part of that weekend included doing vision boards. And if you don't know what a vision board is, there's many different ways to do it. But essentially, it's where you put pictures and words or whatever's inspiring to you on a board. And then you and it holds your vision for something. This is something I've done for years and years and years. And I've had all different kinds of vision boards and different intentions for them. But on this particular weekend, I cut out pictures and I was thinking about my own 10-year vision. I'm going to be 60 this year. And I've been thinking a lot about how I want my next decade to look and feel. And then I was thinking about who do I need to be right now in order to create that? And then I had a vision for my work. And what happened, because I had so much luxurious time with this client, I ended up making three different vision boards. One for my business that's sitting here in my office. I'm looking at it right now. One that is up at my makeup table in my bedroom, and it's sort of like the feelings I want to have in the moment on a daily basis that will create the results I want. And then another is still pretty unclear to me, but it's a beautiful board again, I'm still trying to interpret the results, but it was essentially about that next decade for me, or at least I think it is. But here's the part I want to bring up to you. What I noticed, all of the pictures on all of these were just really sort of random. There were different words and pictures of figs and pictures of different women and people exercising and words. But Melissa McCarthy ended up on all three boards. The actress, the comedian, someone I really admire, Melissa McCarthy, if you don't know her, she was in Bridesmaids. She's just a super powerful woman. But she, a physical picture of her, a literal picture of her, ended up on all three of my vision boards. So like always, you'll hear me talk about this on the podcast, being curious is one of the biggest gifts you can give yourself. So I've been really curious. Why did Melissa McCarthy show up on all three vision boards? And the poses that she's in, I think I had a Vogue magazine, I'm not really sure, some magazine where she was in a bunch of pictures. But I started to go, why is it I'm attracted to her? What is it about her essence, her personality? What is it about her? And so that's the curiosity I have. And again, just as a side note, that's the beautiful thing about a vision board, because it's nonlinear. You put things on it and then you get to be curious. I was like, well, my goodness, why? Well, look at all those women who are forward facing with their arms up, or look at all the colors. For example, the vision board that I talked about that was for the decade, it has pinks and purples and aquas. Y'all, those are not my colors. You'll not see me wearing pink. You'll not see me doing those colors, although I love all colors, but those are not my lead colors. Yet that showed up a lot. I'm just going to sit in curiosity around that. So anyway, going back to Melissa McCarthy, I thought, okay, what does this mean? And I was talking about it with my coach and good friend, and we've been doing a lot of of parts work. And if you know what parts work is, it's really comes from internal family systems. It's understanding that within each of us, we have these various parts of ourselves. Some are protectors but they can be our allies, and sometimes they can do things that sabotage us. But in my work with my coach, one of the things I've been doing is really leaning into these parts of me, which are all me, they're all me, that are awesome, that carry my greatest gifts. And it began to come clear to me that I have an inner Melissa McCarthy. I have an inner Melissa McCarthy, the parts of her that I resonate with. And as I started to look at that, I'm going, okay, I can use that visual of her. Now, I'm not idolizing her as the person. I don't know her. But how I perceive her and what I'm attracted to in her lives within me. Lives within me, or, you know, like attracts like. And whether I'm leading with that or not, now that's the question, but it resonates with me because there's a connection there. So I started to put pen to paper and go, okay, what is it? And first of all, I thought, well, let me just, if in fact she might be the part of me that runs my business, what if this Melissa part of me ran my business? Or took a real lead role in my life. And I started to write down, what are the words that come up when I think about the real Melissa McCarthy, or what I think about when I looked at the pictures of her, sort of, even if she wasn't a person I knew about, you know, but that woman in that picture, what are the words? And here they were: confident, capable, competent, creative, funny as hell, y'all. Powerful, optimistic. She, Melissa, and this is the true Melissa McCarthy, I think that one of my biggest attractions to her is that she's willing to look foolish. Her foolishness is funny. In fact, I heard an interview with her years ago, and she talked about that she sort of knows that this her superpower is the willing to look like something that makes people kind of cringe, like, oh, that's hard. I shouldn't laugh at that, you know, or at a person who's just sort of awkward. And she can embrace that. If you've watched Bridesmaid and other things, she's willing to be characters that are, you know, some that we might laugh at in society. So she's willing to look embarrassing or be embarrassed. And my guess is, in real life, she has a really strong muscle for doing something, and if it flops, she can handle it. So again, going back to my list of, I said confident, capable, competent, creative, funny, powerful, optimistic, and willing to be annoying, willing to be embarrassed, willing to look foolish. And then there was energized. I see her as bubbly and energetic. And I'll also say her physicality is not your classic Hollywood physicality. She's not bone thin. She's not, I think she's beautiful. But she, in that thin way, and we all know what I'm talking about when we talk about culture and is valued thinness. She is a departure from the typical in that industry. I think that's fair to say. Women who are not adherent to that very thin, hyper beautiful persona are the exceptions to the rule, in Hollywood at least. So again, that is so attractive to me, that she is kicking its ass and being her authentic self. Okay. So what does that have to do with me? Okay, my attraction, my which I didn't really know, is now pulling me forward. Hear that again. As I begin to recognize what I'm attracted to in someone else, and I'm like, hey, hot damn, I have that in me. How do I lean into that? So how do I lean in? How do I cultivate those very same characteristics that already live in me? I already know I'm confident in many areas of my life and a lot of the time, but not all the time. I'm capable, but sometimes I forget that. I'm incredibly competent, but sometimes I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Raise your hand if you can relate to that. I'm wildly creative until the times that I feel completely stuck, right? You know, that blank canvas. I'm like, ah, I got to make a post today. Well, what do I say? You know, so I am a creative person, but sometimes I can't tap into that. I can be wildly funny, but there are times that I might take myself too seriously. I'm optimistic, except on the days that I think nothing good is going to happen, right? So all of these things reside in me. I'm also willing to look foolish. And unless the times that I start to feel nervous about that. So I lean into, what would it be like if I leaned in more to my inner Melissa? And in fact, I now have a piece of paper up in my office above my vision board that says Melissa. That's the name now I've given to my internal business owner. I really want those particular characteristics that I just mentioned. I want them to be in all of my life, but I'm really sort of really resonating with me as this is my inner business owner. What if I made choices every day from this place of feeling confident, capable, competent, creative, funny, powerful, optimistic, willing to be annoying? And I was wildly energized. What if I channeled my inner Melissa? Now, this is not the first time I've done this kind of mental personality thing. And I mentioned to you parts work, where we talk about our inner parts. Well, long before I learned of this modality called Internal Family Systems by Richard Swartz, I was using parts language to describe myself. I had named my inner critic. And at that time, I called her Sasha. And people who've followed me know that I call, she looks like Cher did in the 70s, bone thin and this long hair, and she'd flip her hair over her shoulders. And she was brutally critical of me. That was my inner critic. And what I realized is that while I couldn't at the time, I didn't have the skills or the know-how, I've gotten better at this, to really quiet my inner critic. Again, I hadn't really learned how to do that. I thought, okay, I can't get her off the bus, but can I invite some other people on the bus to drown her ass out? And so I began to try to channel my inner Wanda Sykes. I have a thing for comedians, obviously. But Wanda Sykes is a comedian. She's snarky sometimes, and she's snippy, and she's fast, and she's brutally honest. So again, I leaned into those parts that reside in me. They reside in me as well. So I would just sort of mentally, when my inner critic would grab me by the short hairs, when Sasha would just like, bam, 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 these are all the ways you're wrong. I would go, wait, what would Wanda Sykes say? She'd be like, shut up, girl, get the back seat, whatever. I don't know. But this idea, I'm hoping this is making sense to you, is that sometimes we forget, we just begin to believe everything we hear, and the part, we begin to listen to the loudest voice in our head. And you all, sometimes that loudest voice is one that is not serving us. Now, I want to be super duper clear, and I'll probably do more podcasts on this in the future. We don't want to get rid of any of our voices who feel critical. But in this particular podcast, I want to talk about how we can actually lean into the parts of us that are our allies, the ones that are more clear. The ones that are more in alignment with what we're trying to create. And this one extra step of actually assigning finding a person, and it doesn't have to be a real person. It can be something you've created in your mind, or it can be an amalgamation of several different people that you morph together. But I am finding this wildly helpful to be able to go, okay, what would Melissa do? Now, again, y'all, I don't know her. I don't know what she would really do. I'm just looking at what she presents to the world. I have no illusions that she's not a whole person with all of her own flaws and her own challenges. I know all of that exists. But what I'm leaning into is the parts of her that she has shown the public that I find that I'm really attracted to. Her confidence and her competence and her humor and her willing to put herself out there. She's sort of my muse, at least right now. I've had other muses. So I'm wondering how this is landing. I'm curious if you're curious. So from what I've said, you could cherry pick lots of different takeaways from this. And let me just kind of recap some of those. You could go out and pull a bunch of magazines out and do what I did and just start pulling pictures and see what shows up. You can just go do a vision board and just see the colors and the visions and the pictures and the words. That itself is incredibly helpful. And I probably should do a podcast on this because I have lots of tips on how to do this a variety of ways. But that could, if you're pinged to do that, that's one takeaway you could have. You could also begin to think about your future self or your the person you really want to step in to be, and begin to give that part of you a persona, almost outside of yourself just a little bit, so that you can even have a dialogue. Like Melissa and I can sit here and go, okay, I ain't feeling it today. I ain't feeling it. I got to do a podcast. I've got to do this and that. I'm going like, Melissa, what am I going to do today? Melissa, tell me. And she's like, girl, let's do this. So, you know, as weird as it sounds, you could create this persona and bring it just a little bit outside of yourself and use her or him as your companion, your partner, to do things, create the life that you want. Yeah. And I think there was another takeaway, but I just went blank. So you could create that dialogue, or you can go and really find a real person to do that for you. I don't know. I'm trusting your own brain to hear what I had to say today and take away something. But that's the main thing I want you to do. I want you to take a 2 or 3 or 4, 10 seconds from this podcast and go, okay, what am I inspired to do? What am I inspired to do? And it may simply be, hey, I'm just going to be open to what Sherry suggested. I'm just going to start noticing who I'm attracted to. And I can't remember who said it, but when we're truly attracted to something, let's be curious about that. Oh, even if we're in that, this is a whole other conversation, but if you're truly repelled by something, I'll go ahead and tell you the story. There's a coach in our industry who I really, really admire, and I'm not going to say her name. But I've also been incredibly triggered by her. Incredibly triggered by her. So much that I would say I didn't like her. I don't know her. Obviously, I don't know her personally. As I've been curious, what I realized is that there's so much about her that I admire, and it was almost too much. Jealousy would come up, this realization that where she was and where I am felt like just miles and miles apart. So even my resistance, or even a repulsion, if you will, to someone is incredibly good information. Now, I really don't know this person, and I've come to understand that about myself, and now I look at her stuff very, very differently. But so be curious, my friends. Think about, notice who you're attracted to or what you're repelled by, but particularly in this instance, focus on what and who you might be really gravitating toward, and go, what is it I like about them? Is that within me? Can I use that to pull me forward? Y'all, these things that we do, they may sound silly in the moment. I said to someone last night at a networking event that often what I'll tell my clients is some of these things that I recommend feel silly. And I'd say this, just roll your eyes and do it anyway. Just roll your eyes and do it anyway. Because these things, these weird small things that feel sort of nebulous or like, really, Sherry, I'm going to go look at who people, you know, I'm attracted to. Yes. You absolutely are. Those things add up. And I'll also say that yesterday I found myself having two very challenging conversations with two people where I had said to them, hopefully in a very loving way, you will not accidentally have what you want. These two particular people in very different circumstances were sort of settling and lamenting what they didn't have and really resisting stepping up and changing things. And I just said, you know, it won't accidentally get better. It won't accidentally get better. So going back to this, you know, I'm not accidentally going to just 100% lead my life with this confident, capable, competent, creative, funny, powerful, optimistic self, because I'm a human and I have a brain and life is hard sometimes. So I have to do it on purpose. There we are. We have to do it on purpose. I have to think certain thoughts on purpose. I have to look at my feelings on purpose. And so do you. And if it helps to do that by having a picture of Melissa McCarthy in my office, I'm going to do that, y'all. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to invite you to do that too. I would love to hear from you. I would love to for you to know that I'm here to support you. And so there. I look forward to seeing you soon. And always, always, always know that you can email me at sherry@sherryhoneycott.com. Even if we don't know each other, say, yo, I listened to this podcast and this is my takeaway. Nothing makes me happier than to hear that. So I'll see you next time in our next episode. Ta-ta. Thank you so much for listening to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast. And I sure hope that you're taking away something that you can begin to use today. Speaking of things you can use, I have lots of free things over at sherryhoneycutt.com. And the one I want to highlight in today's podcast is something I call Work Your Butt Off. And I spell it B-U-T. Let's get those butts worked off. And it is a 30-day program to help you get your butts off the couch. It's 30 videos. It's a 75-page workbook, I think. And it's free to help you begin to take deliberate action toward getting that thing or those things done. So that's what I've got for you. I would love to invite you over to sherryhoneycutt.com. Click under cool stuff and you'll find that. You'll also find the link in the show notes and in the description of this podcast. Y'all, I'm here to help you take action because action is how we begin to get new thoughts around our life. So go check it out. Get your free copy of this course that I've designed and go and design your best life. Until next time.